we're going to welcome up Pastor Matt as he continues our Acts series and brings us the word.
Thank you, thank you. Fantastic. I wonder if we could just pray before we're seated. That'd be fantastic. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity that we have to gather in your name. It's always such an honor. We're so mindful of those that do not have the privilege of being able to do what we're doing here today. And Lord, in particular, we think of those in Victoria at this time. We just want to pray, Father, for you to just work powerfully in that state. Lord God, we can only presume to know some of the anxiety, concern, and worry that not only the ordinary citizens are facing, but those who are in leadership and just trying to navigate their way forward. Father, we pray that you would work a miracle. We're believing for something supernatural to happen. We're believing that you can turn around the effects of this virus. And Lord God, that you could protect lives in Jesus' mighty name. We stand with our brothers and sisters that are in that state. And we ask that you would just work on their behalf in Jesus' mighty name. May it be all for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much. And thanks, Jasmine, on keys there as well, which is fantastic. We're continuing our Acts series, and we took a little bit of a pause in the last couple of weeks, but we are in the last 3 weeks of the series now, and so it's been great. I was looking the other day, and I think we're going to have had 12 weeks in the book of Acts, which is a little bit longer than our normal series that we kind of do. We tend to kind of stick somewhere around the 4 to 6 week period, typically. But it's really been, I think, such a timely series just to get into. And so it's really been helpful because I think there's been a lot of things that have been mirrored in terms of what we're facing as the church and as believers in this time at the moment. And so if you're online, welcome to you as well. It's great to have you with us. And it's fantastic being here in person with everyone. I know people have said, but we've seen you every week, but we haven't seen you. And so it's great to just have some of you in the room, and also for you guys who are online as well. But let's pick it up in Acts chapter 6, and we're going to read from verse 1. You can follow on the screens as well and online. So it says, in those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Hellenistic Jews amongst them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from amongst you who are known to be full of the spirit and wisdom. And we will turn this responsibility over to them, and we will give our attention to prayer and ministry of the word. And this proposal pleased the whole group, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. And they presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. And so the word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. I think it's pretty concerning that the priests had to get saved. but anyway, we'll get on to that. But, you know, I love this text and enjoy it because here we arrive at a moment when the church, this early church, is presented with some internal dynamics, some internal challenges because of the growth that was actually happening amongst them. And it actually says in verse 1, it actually says this, the number of disciples was increasing. And I just want to pause there for a moment before we get on to what else I want to speak about, because the reality is that increase will always bring with it the need to evaluate and adjust. Yeah. The increase will always bring the need to evaluate and adjust. And throughout the Bible, we see that God is a God of increase and growth. I hope you realize that God is a God of increase and growth. And if things grind to a halt in your life, or in the life of a community, or in your marriage, or in your family, or whatever it is, God is not the problem. Hello? Yeah. Are you guys alive out there? Yeah. All right, you need to make sure. I preach really well when you start, you know, kind of like just engaging like that. I'm that kind of preacher. And it's also good for you to hear yourself witnessing with the word. And actually saying, yeah, actually, that's good. That really helps me. And so, you know, we find that actually God is not the problem when it comes, because God is a God of increase. That's his nature. That's his character, is that he's a God of increase. And it says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 11 to 13, and this is out of the message. And listen to this text, and I love this. It says, dear Corinthians, I can tell, it could actually say dear Fusionites. I could tell I can't tell how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly as I can and with great affection. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. I hope you realize that God wants you to live openly and expansively. He doesn't want you to live restricted. He doesn't want you to live in a restricted way, but He wants you to live openly and expansively. He wants us to open up our lives. No one's putting the limitations on you outside of you. Hello? No one's putting that limitation outside of you, because God's heart is for you to live expansively and openly. That's His nature. That's who we are. And I think, you know, it's not so much about God wanting to bless you with what you have. It's more about Him wanting to increase and grow you from within. Yes. If I look back on the 33 years of me being a Christian, the greatest growth has not been what I have, but I have to say God has blessed us over and over in the most amazing ways, but the biggest increase and growth in me has been within. I'm not the same person I was from when I got saved 33 years ago. God has done a deep work and is continuing to do that in me. And so there's an expansiveness that I've discovered in Him that has enriched my life beyond measure. Well, I've actually realized, I'm living in something that I'm so grateful for and so thankful for. And the Bible speaks in so many ways about increasing and growing. Sometimes I think we hear those words in the church and we kind of go, oh, you know, don't speak about increase. Don't speak about those kind of things. No, it's God's heart. That's the God that we serve. The Bible speaks about where to increase and grow in our faith. It speaks about how we're to increase and grow in our love for Him and love for others. It speaks about also about how we're to increase in our knowledge and understanding of Him and who He is. The Bible says we're also to increase in our strength and power in Him. It speaks about how we're supposed to increase in our kingdom effectiveness. It speaks about how we're to increase in our generosity. And I could go on and on, but that's the nature of our God. He's a God of increase. He's a God of growth. He's a God that wants us to walk in this open and expansive life. And even COVID cannot stop that. Hello? So why are we allowing COVID to let us live small? Oh, ouch. That one hurts. But it's true. And why am I saying that? Because I've had that same struggle. I've been faced with that same thing. Because everything has been turned upside down in this last season. And there's this temptation to begin to live less than what God intended. But the reality is that God wants you to live an open and expansive life. And COVID cannot stop that. That's why Paul writes, he says, man, I might be in chains, but he says, God's word cannot be chained. It doesn't matter what's going on out there, the biggest growth is actually in here. Hello? Yes. Come on, guys, you got to talk with me. Come on, get it. Let's get excited. This is the word of God. Yes. And there's something there that I think we've got to tap into. Listen to what it says in Psalm 115 and verse 12. It says, the Lord has been mindful of us. I want you to think about that. The Lord has been mindful of you. The Lord has been mindful of you. He's been mindful. He's had you on His mind. And it goes on to say, listen to this. He will bless us. Not He might bless us, but He will bless you. He says He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord. The small, if you think that you're small in God's eyes, He says, I will still bless you and the great. He says, may the Lord give you increase, you and your children. The Amplified says it this way. It says, give you increase more and more. See, that's the nature of our God, is that He wants you to be living in this wide open, expansive place. He says, may you be blessed of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Man, if anyone wants to tell me that God is not a God who wants us to live expansively and openly, then I want to say to you, man, the word is full of texts like that, that tell me that is God's nature. That is His heart. He is a God of increase, and He wants us to operate from a place of blessing, not from a place of lack. Let me tell you, COVID can almost get you thinking that we have lack. But I want to tell you, in Christ, you are blessed. Yes. You don't have lack, you actually have blessing. Why? Because positionally in Christ, we are blessed and we carry his name. And with that name, there comes amazing blessing. You know, I have three kids and they're all grown up now. And as Jill said, we've got a beautiful little granddaughter here, little Evie. But my kids by birthday, they actually have certain privileges. They have certain access. They have certain things that come with being carriers of my name. They can have access to things and parts of me and our lives that you don't have. Why? Because they carry our name. And the same is true in your family. Is that your kids and they have a certain access, they have certain privileges that come because they're carriers of your name. And I was saying in the earlier service, I said that maybe they might look at some things as not being a blessing, like when I'm asleep on the couch and I've got drool kind of like coming out the side of my mouth while I'm sleeping, saying I'm watching TV, I'm watching sport, but I'm not really. But if they try and change the channel, I'm awake in a flash and I say this, I'm watching that. I don't know if there's any other guy like that, any other male out there that's prepared to acknowledge that's them. That's me, man. And they probably in those moments, but they're blessed. They're blessed. Because why? Because they carry my name. And we carry the name of Jesus. And because of that, you're blessed. And I really want to emphasize, I'm emphasizing this point, because I'm amazed at how many people don't operate and live from that place. We live from this place of lack. We live from this place of deficit. We live from this place thinking we somehow don't have enough, and therefore we explain away what's not happening in our lives because of that. And we kind of read the Bible and we see miracles, we see signs, we see expansiveness, we see increase, and we say, oh, but that doesn't really apply to me. Why? Because I'm operating from a place of deficit. But the truth is very different. The truth says, in Christ, you will be blessed. And not you just will be, you are blessed. You are blessed because of Christ. And we've got to operate from that. You know, so God is a God of blessing. That's the point I want to get across. God is a God of blessing. He's a God of increase. He's a God of favor. And if growth and blessing is part of who he is and what he does, as we see what was happening here in the book of Acts, then it's how we respond to that is going to make all the difference. Because our response is going to determine whether we tap into that or whether we don't. And so in society, we have an amazing group of people, dedicated people, who collectively are called first responders. That's a term that's often used for them, first responders. And we've got some of those in our own church who would classify as first responders. It's people like paramedics and firefighters and emergency medical services, police, and sometimes the military. And they get involved. They're those who are actually, whenever there's an event or there's a crisis or there's an incident, they are often the first to respond. They're the first to actually respond to that. And their quickness and their level of response literally can mean the difference between life and death for those that have been affected. They are highly trained professionals. They go through years and years of training. And all that training is about being able to make critical life decisions when they're under pressure. And decisions that will hopefully preserve life and maybe even resurrect life sometimes. And there's those, they are trained to step up and take responsibility when it's needed. That's what their training teaches them to do. They're not trained to be those that stand by and stand back. They are trained to be those that step in and actually respond. They're those that are trained to actually respond to whatever's going. They were trained to respond immediately. And they're trained to realize that you cannot just pass it on to someone else. And I've heard stories of people that even though they're not rostered on, they're trained to the point that even if they're driving somewhere and they happen to pass an accident or an incident or something, their training kicks in and they literally will just, it doesn't matter that I'm not on a roster. It doesn't matter that I'm not actually legislated to be on. I'll get involved. Why? Because that's what they're trained to do. And I'm so thankful for those amazing men and women that's right across our society, and even in this season of COVID, I think we had bushfires and then we had COVID. They have gone above and beyond in the last 6 months. Yeah. And we need to be praying. We need to be thankful for those people in our society who fall into that category. And just remember, if you know people in that sphere, make a point of telling them how thankful you are for what they do and how they do. But in the same way, we are called to be first responders to God and whatever it is that he's doing in the season that we find ourselves in. Just as those people, the first responders in the natural, are quick to respond, in the same way, we need to be quick to respond to whatever season we find ourselves in. We are meant to be first responders, not second, third, fourth, last responders, not standers by who are just looking at what's going on, but those who first are those who respond. And that's what God wants of us. And here we find the Grecian Jews complaining about the Hebraic Jews. You see, even back in the early church, there were issues in the church. There were things going on. People kind of were like wrestling, and there was this thing. And their widows, they said, were being overlooked for the daily distribution of the food. So what was the issue here? Well, at one level, there was potentially cultural issues that were going on, cultural prejudices that were going on. And I haven't got time to go into that, but a couple of weeks ago, I preached a message called Reconcile to Reconcile, where I spoke about a biblical response to prejudice. And it's really much, very much a topical issue right now. And it's something that is not just for now, but I believe is an ongoing thing that as a church, we have to be leaders in. We have to be those as Christians that we have to be leading in. What does it mean to have a biblical response to prejudice? And how do we respond, not with prejudice, but in the way that Jesus would have us respond, who died for all, came for all, and we want to be those that actually bring healing to where it's needed. And I encourage you, if you haven't heard that message, I encourage you to go listen to it because I think you'll find it helpful. And I certainly posed a few questions in that I think were not so many answers, but things for us to consider to say, guys, we've got to grow in our understanding of these things. Yeah. And so that was possibly an issue that was at play here between the different speaking groups that were actually here. But I think there was another issue that was to do with the continued increase and expansion and changing environment within which the early church actually found itself. There was change that was going on. And for the first time, the early church was finding itself in this time of growth was happening so quickly, perhaps even quicker than what they could actually manage themselves. And it was beginning to start pushing beyond the boundaries of Jerusalem and begin to actually go into some of the surrounding areas. And if you read on in the book of Acts, you begin to see how it rapidly goes on. From round about now, and it starts expanding. And so there was this changing dynamic that was stretching, it was challenging. And I'm sure some of us have found this COVID season stretching and challenging. I'm sure even like coming back to church like this, some of us may be going, oh, but it's so different. We're sitting so far apart, it's just so different. And yes, it is, it's our new normal. And there's stretch and there's challenge. But it doesn't mean that God is not at work. Because we see clearly that he was at work here. And so whatever that season is, we need to be saying, what's our first response to that change? Because we want to ensure that our response is facilitating life and the blessing that God actually wants to pour out in our lives and in our midst as a community. And what's required is a response of responsibility. A response of responsibility is required. Not just a response, but a response of responsibility. And I'll be talking a little bit more about what that is, because we want to just make sure we're responding God's way. And there's a number of ways that you can see that I see in this text that we can respond. And the first way is this, is that you can just keep on doing what you've been doing in response to whatever God is doing. You can just keep on doing what you've always been doing. And you know, the apostles, they could have just kept on doing what they've been doing. It'd been working for them up until this point. And they could have just said, look, you know, we see the problem, we hear the problem, we hear your complaint, but we kind of just going to keep on doing what we've always done. And you know what, I could have rationalized that, I could have understood that, I kind of go, well, as a leader, I can get how they can think like that. But how often do we do that? We sometimes do that, you know, God's moving or circumstances are changing or seasons that we're in, and we sometimes just try and ignore things. We try and ignore what's kind of going on, and we just hope that something's going to be different. We hope that something's going to be changed, or maybe even we hope that someone else will step up or step in and actually do what God is maybe asking us to do. And this is what I've learned. Someone said the definition of insanity is to keep on doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You see, you know, sometimes we've got to look at the things that we're doing, and if we're just doing nothing and just trying to ignore things, it's not always going to bring the life that God would have us do. Why do we do that? Well, I think some of the reasons can be things like fear. Maybe it's been because of past experiences. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's ignorance. Maybe it's you don't know what to do. Maybe there's just a lack of confidence. Maybe you yourself have seen yourself as a victim. Maybe you're one of those widows in the story. And you're kind of on the receiving end of stuff, and you haven't really seen yourself as someone who can actually make a difference. But I want to say to you, let's make sure that we're not just in standby mode, just watching life pass by. Let's make sure that we are being first responders, those who are actually stepping into this place of being those that have a responsibility to respond. And, you know, if the apostles and the disciples had simply done nothing, the chances are that they would have put a brake on what God was doing. And they would have been the ceiling, not God. I need you to hear that. They would have been the ceiling, not God. You see, our response, God is sovereign. God can do whatever he likes, but he's chosen to use the church. He's chosen to use his people to affect his purposes. And therefore, that means that you and I have a role to play. That means you and I are part of this process. And so he says, yes, I will to do that. I'm a God of increase. I'm a God of all these things. But we can end up putting an increase on our marriage. We can put a ceiling on our marriage, or a ceiling on our families, or a ceiling on our individual lives if we choose not to respond to whatever it is that he's doing. God is not the problem. And that's what Paul writes when he writes to the church in Corinth, when we read that text out of Corinthians. And he says, I want you to live open and expansive lives. You know, there's many things that we need to keep on consistently doing no matter what the season. There's some things that no matter whether you're COVID, pre-COVID, post-COVID, no matter what season you're in, there's things all of us should be doing all the time. And it's things like this. It's things like worship. It's things like the word. It's things like prayer. It's things like community. Community doesn't stop because of COVID. Community should get stronger because of COVID. It's about serving. It's about ministry to the lost out there. It's about loving people. It's about exercising faith. It's about generosity. Those are things, no matter what season that you're in, you keep on doing. It's just how that looks and what that response of responsibility looks like that may be different. But the same values apply no matter what's the season. And I believe that there's a God right now is doing something significant in this season. There's a shaking that's taking place at an individual level, but also collectively as the church. And I'm loving seeing how the church is resilient and how the church is kind of, and that's, the kingdom hasn't shrunk. The kingdom's actually increasing. I say we've seen that in our own sphere, where we've now got people around the world that are watching what's going on. They're watching the service right now. We're having an increase, and we're just one of thousands upon 10,000s of churches right around the world that are having similar increase. And so the kingdom is advancing. It's not decreasing. And there's a shaking. And listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 9, verse 14 through to 17, where Jesus is questioned by John's disciples, and this question about this, how come we're fasting, that's John's disciples are talking to Jesus, but your disciples don't? And Jesus turns around to them and says this in verse 16. It says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins, because if they do, the skins will burst, the wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And let me just give you some context to that, because if you know anything about those times, the wineskin is, it was basically like an animal skin that they used to put the wine in, the new wine, and the new wine would actually over time ferment, and there were gases be released, and it would expand. And so the skin had to be supple and new in order to cope with that expansion. If it was a new skin, it would actually allow the wine to fully mature, and the wine skin and the wine would be fine. But if you put new wine, wine that hadn't fermented yet, into an old wine skin that was dry and cracked, and then it started to expand, what would happen is the wine skin would obviously crack, and the wine would be destroyed, and the wine would be destroyed, and no one would be happy. There's no wine. And so there's something there that's in that, that's saying whenever God is doing a new thing, John's disciples were stuck on the old thing. They were stuck on the thing. Well, we've been fasting, we've been doing all that thing, and now they come to Jesus. How come your disciples aren't fasting? They were not recognizing the fact that Jesus himself was there talking to them. And he's saying, guys, I'm here. There's no need to fast right now. A time will come again when you need a fast. But hello, I'm right here. Hello, can you not see me? It's me, Jesus. They were missing it. They were so stuck on the old, what they'd always been doing, that they were missing the new season. And I want to say to you, what's the new season that God's got for you? Are you still so stuck on the old way of doing things that perhaps there's a new thing that God's doing that you, if you'll be honest, in your attitude or your mindset or your habits or maybe just a way of doing things, you realize that you've been presenting God an old wineskin in this new season, and he's actually looking for you to present him a new wineskin in this new season because he's doing a new thing, and he's a God of increase. Remember, the wine ferments, the wine expands, and he's a God of increase. And if your wineskin's old, it's not going to be able to cope with the increase that he wants to do. And so we've got to make sure that in our mindset, in our attitudes, in our ways of doing things, we're not holding on to things so religiously that we don't actually go with the new thing that God is actually doing. And I think he's very definitely doing a new thing in his church right now. It's an old thing, a new way. Salvation message is the same. Jesus is the same. None of that changes. But it's an old thing in a new way. And so we need to make sure that we're doing that because he wants to bless us. And he wants to preserve life and do all of that. And so, and then the second thing is, not only is it about we've actually got to, what was my first point? I can't even remember. Just keep on doing what you've always done. It's the second time I'm preaching this message. Pray for me. But the second thing is you've got to see the problem. You've got to see the problem. And see the Hellenistic Jews amongst them complain. We're complaining. And it says that the apostles, they saw the complaint. They heard the complaint. There was an injustice, and it seemed like it was a legitimate injustice because the apostles actually responded to it, and it seemed like it had been something that had been going on for a little while at that time. But they knew enough to know that if they didn't address this issue, they didn't address what was going on, that this would actually hinder that which God was doing. And so they see and they saw this problem, but they didn't just stand back and say, I see the problem. They said this, they asked, what is our response of responsibility to this thing? It's a great question. If you go away with anything, go away with that. What's my response of responsibility with what God is doing at this time? They injected themselves into the problem, and they realized that if it wasn't dealt with God's way, then potentially they could hinder that which God was doing. Yes. You see, it's not so much about you worrying about what I'm doing or me worrying about what you're doing. It's about us actually having this conversation with God about, God, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to inject myself into whatever the season is, whatever the thing is before us? God, how do I need to respond as a responder, as a first responder? Because I know that life and death depends on this. I know, God, that what you require of me is not for me to go away and think about things. And you see, the first responders, they're trying not to go away and think about things. They already know their stuff. And they just kick in. When there's something that is kicking, they just respond. It's not a time to go away and debate and talk about it and pray about it. You don't need to pray about having to respond to God. Hello? Hello? Some of us, we're too busy doing religious things, making it sound super spiritual. I'll just go and pray about that. No, just respond. Hello? You must still my friends? Just respond. You don't need to go pray about something. Some things you just need to respond because the Word of God tells us already what we need to be doing. And we simply need to be injecting ourselves into the thing. And that brings me on to my third point. Let's be responsibility responders. Yes. Sorry, it's a little bit of a clumsy phrase, but I couldn't come up with anything better than that. Let's be responsibility responders. Because what's great here is that the apostles don't start running around trying to fix it all themselves and keep everyone happy. They, if we're to be honest, that's what many of us do in life. We're running around trying to keep people happy. Maybe it's your loved ones, maybe it's your family, maybe whatever it is, your friends, maybe it's your work colleagues. You're more worried about what they think and about them being happy than you are about being first responders to whatever it is that God is doing. And I want to say to you, don't be that person. This is what I've learned being a church leader. You cannot keep everyone happy. Been seasons when I've tried really hard. And even when I've tried so hard to keep everyone happy, there's always one that says, I'm not happy. And then I realized, it's not my job to keep them happy. The joy of the Lord will be their strength. It's not my job to keep them happy. My job is to simply be obedient and be a first responder, what God has called me to do, and let the joy of the Lord be their strength. And we end up trying to keep people happy, but they realized there was a God-given strategy they needed to tap into. And they saw the challenge, they owned the challenge, they responded to that challenge that was before them, and they knew that their priority was the Word of God and prayer. They knew that. And they knew that in order for them to do that, they couldn't get involved in the nitty-gritty of trying to resolve this issue. It needed to be resolved, but it wasn't for them to resolve it. It wasn't for them. They knew there was a different response of responsibility that was needed. And the response of responsibility was that others were needed to step in. And others were needed to step in because that would then free them up to do what only they could do. And there's this, a beautiful truth in that in the church. When the church operates that way, when we don't leave it up to just a few, when we don't just leave it up to the professionals, when we understand that we all have a responsibility, when we all begin to release one another to do the thing that only we can do in God, there's something powerful in that. You know, that's why we love encouraging people to get involved in the church and do different things. And you know, whenever I struggle with my own heart on these things and I struggle with my own willingness to respond, and I have to be honest, there's sometimes that I'm going into work on Tuesday, oh, you work for the church, how can it be? But there's some Tuesday mornings that sometimes I walk in and I'm not feeling so willing. I hope that doesn't disturb you. Just trying to be real. It's my sin flesh talking. And this is what I've learned to remind myself of, is that I just have to think of Jesus' response of responsibility. I've had to think about the fact that he demonstrated through going to the cross. He took upon his shoulders what was not his to carry. He took upon his shoulders my sin, your sin. He chose to take it upon his shoulders, and he said, even though I didn't commit these things, even though I didn't do these things, I choose to bear it upon my shoulders. He took that first response. He took that response of responsibility and said, I'll carry it. I'll do it on their behalf. And when I battle to serve, when I battle to get involved, I just have to remind myself of that simple fact. That's what Jesus did for me. So why am I struggling? It's because I'm not thankful enough. It's because I'm not worshipful enough. Because I'm not remembering. And then his question to us is, well, if I did that for you, what will you do for me? Not because we're having to earn his love. He already loves us. But it's a love response that comes from a heart of worship, a heart of adoration, a heart of thankfulness that says, God, what can I do but give my life to you? What can I do but give involved? What can I do but be a first responder? What can I do but have a response of responsibility? Because God, that's exactly what you did for me. The church got involved. And it says in verse 3 and 4 of Acts chapter 6, it says, the apostles say, choose from amongst you those who are full of the Spirit and the Word. And it says, we will turn this responsibility over to them. And we will give our attention to prayer and ministry and the Word. They weren't just handing it over to anyone. And there's something in there about us understanding that God, as believers, wants us to be full of the Word and full of the Spirit. Both are needed. You just being full of the Word and not of the Spirit, that's dangerous. You being full of the Spirit and not full of the Word, that's dangerous. God's pattern is full of the Word and full of His Holy Spirit. When those two things are in tension, that's where His anointing resides. That's where His blessing is. And so when we can live in that place, that's the kind of people, that's what first responders look like. They're full of His Word and full of His Spirit. And they appoint seven. Seven of them. You know, if you just do some of the sums all the way through the book of Acts, you realize that the church at this point was anywhere from about 10,000 to 20,000 strong. And yet the 12 apostles decide that the answer to this problem that they found themselves in the season was to appoint just seven. I don't know about you, but I kind of look at that and think that's a bit strange. Why seven? I mean, seven's God's number, so that, yeah, okay, I could explain that away. But I think there's another reason that's even more deeper, and it's simply this. How did they manage? To me, it points to this response of responsibility is because everyone was doing their part. Everyone was doing their part. Everyone was carrying their response of responsibility. They weren't leaving it to someone else. They weren't saying someone else do it. They were saying, God, whatever I can do in the season that I'm in, I want to do it. I want to have a response of responsibility. That's what being a Christian is that you're prepared to say, actually, yes, God, here I am. I'm a first responder. You know, my role may be different to yours, but you need me and I need you. That's how God put the church together. We all need one another. And it says in verse 7, it concludes with this. And so the word of God spread, and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. You see, when we have that response of responsibility, what happens? The kingdom increases. The kingdom responds. The kingdom is blessed. The kingdom, there's life. There's expansive life. There's openness. There's blessing, there's growth, there's increase. But it starts with you and I. And if you want to get anything out of this message here this morning, simply just ask yourself the question, am I prepared to inject myself into this equation? And say, God, I want to be a first responder. I want to be someone who takes that response of responsibility seriously. And say, God, how can you use me? It's not a one-size-fits-all. Everyone is used in different ways. Let me show you in this COVID season for us as a church, there are so many different opportunities for us to get involved. So many different ways. Just the fact right now we have a brand new streaming team that's sitting upstairs in our brand new studio that's helping facilitate this online message right now. That didn't exist a few months ago. And I love that there's people who have put their hand up and got repositioned and reskilled and who brought their skills. And some have got involved in the first time because they understand it's about Jesus. It's about the kingdom. It's about a heart for people. That's what it's all about. And he wants his church, he wants his kingdom to continue to expand and grow. And you and I have a role to play. Won't you stand with me, please? I don't know where you find yourself, whether you're here in this room or whether you are online here today. But I just want to pray with you and for you. And maybe if you know that you need to respond to what I'm saying, maybe this thing of being a first responder, maybe you realize that you've benched yourself or you've kind of been on the sidelines and you realize that that needs to change. Or maybe there's been some pain in your past where perhaps you have responded, but you realize the season you're in right now, you haven't been doing that. Or maybe this whole COVID thing has really got you and you realize that you just haven't been living in the fullness of what I've been talking about here today, then I would love to pray for you. Or maybe you're someone who feels called to leadership, whether it's in the church or whether it's outside the church. It doesn't matter, it's all kingdom. And you say, actually, I want to be like one of those seven that was appointed to help facilitate that which God was doing. Then I would love to pray for you as well. And so if that's you, why don't you just lift your hands to heaven as we pray right now. Father, I just thank you, Father, for your word that is just so helpful and just instructs us and guides us and leads us and shapes us. And I pray, Father, as we respond to you here today, that you would heal what needs to be healed and you would, Lord God, you would minister where you need a minister. And Lord God, I want to see people empowered and enabled to be used in greater ways for you. I thank you, Lord, that even now you're beginning to speak to people about how they can take a response of responsibility. I thank you, Lord God, that you're showing people now and reminding them of how they can play out in their spheres and how they can contribute, Lord God. And Father, I pray that you would just come and seal this word in their hearts. Lord, I pray that they would begin to walk in that open, expansive place that we spoke about right at the outset of this message. That they would understand that they are blessed in you. And when we walk out of that place, God, we don't need to operate out of lack, but we can expect blessing to follow us wherever we go. I pray for that. I pray for mindsets to change. I pray for wineskins, Lord God, to be presented to you afresh. That would let go of things that are hindering. And we'd embrace the new. knowing that we can trust you in all of your ways. I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. You know, if you don't know Jesus, or maybe you've been far off from him, you've perhaps walked with him and you've been off, then we would love to talk with you and help you on that journey. We understand that it's not just a moment, but it's a lifestyle, and we would love to help you and process that with you and resource you as best we can. And so whether you're watching online or whether you're here in this room, if you're here, you could talk to one of us as pastors, myself, Jill, or Daryl, and we would love to talk with you about that, or maybe someone that you came with, mention it to them, and they'll gladly just point you in the right direction. Or if you're online, you can just drop a comment in the box and comment section, and we'll gladly get in touch with you and help and resource you in some way. But Father, I thank you for those people that right now are just processing and just thinking about that decision to become believers in you. And Lord God, we don't want to just see a moment, emotional moment response, but we want to see changed lives. Because the best life, the expansive life, the open life is found in Christ. And Father, we desire to see that for each and every one. And so I pray you would continue to work in their hearts. Continue to let them know that you died on the cross for them and that you're opening your hand of invitation to them today. In Jesus' name, amen.